Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening to everyone. Welcome to Spiritual Growth and Development. You're here live at Labor Shift Christ Word Life Center. And this evening we are going to do a summary of what we have been discussing for the past several weeks. Past couple months, we've been talking about There's a Crack in Your Armor by Perry Stone. And so we definitely encourage everyone, if you don't have this book, go out and get it, update your library. It's a powerful book where Perry Stone, he shows us how to protect and effectively use our spiritual armor. He explained 7 common factors that wear down your spiritual strength, what to do when the armor has taken a beating, how to apply some of the pieces of armor that we don't talk about very much, how to apply those in our life, how to seal off any opening that is inviting assaults against us, against your family, the church. So definitely this book is one that, you know, if we're engaged, which we all are, in any type of battle, whether it's physical, mental, or spiritual, then this is a powerful resource that we want to have in your library. And so the book has approximately 17 chapters, I believe. And, of course, the first chapter was just a revelation of your God gear. And so the scripture says in Ephesians 6, I'm going to start with verse 11, it says to put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That was Ephesians 6, verses 11 through 18. And it talks about the different pieces of armor, the breastplate of righteousness. Let me back up. Having your loins girded about with truth. Then it talks about the breastplate of righteousness. It talks about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the one weapon that we always forget that we leave out is prayer. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. And that's the one thing that when we often mention about, okay, we tell people, ask people, you know, can you name the spiritual weapons, you know, the weapons of armor? And we go through all of them, we leave out prayer. You know, that one piece, that most, I don't want to say the most important piece, but it probably could be, but we leave it out every time, you know. And it talks about also, going back to verse 12, against principalities, against powers, rulers of this darkness and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Understanding that, first of all, the battle that we're in is a spiritual battle. We're not fighting against people, even though we feel as though we are. It's not a fleshly battle. We are fighting against the spirit realm, if I could put it that way. And so, you know, we talk about what principalities are. And we talk about what powers are and the rules of darkness. All these are different levels, you know. You know, what has been some of the rules of the other world is one of the questions that we ask. And then we talk about spiritual wickedness in high places, understanding that wickedness has dimensions. And so what is the spiritual wickedness that is waging a war against you? You know, identify the high places. You know, we tend to read these scriptures over and over again, but we need to take the time to just break it down and talk about what are principalities, what are powers, you know, break down each word. And then, you know, do an in-depth study on the weapons, the piece of armor. You know, what does it mean to have your loins girt about with truth? You know, what is that? What is the breastplate of righteousness? You know, having your feet shod with the preparation of gospel. You know, the shield of faith. You know, we talk about the various levels of faith. I believe we had a few, well, which we did. We had several of our leaders. We all took a piece of the armor and we did an in-depth study on the pieces of armor, you know, and the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. We all talk about the sword of the Spirit, which we understand is the Word of God. Does anyone have anything they want to add? Anything, Minister Wright, that you'd like to add? I know you talked about one of those pieces of armor.
Yes, I spoke about the shield of faith. And when I spoke on the shield of faith, I spoke that there was two types of Roman shield, and one was small and round, used mostly for display. It was about the size of a large piece. It could be hooked to the lion belt, and it was used in a parade after war. The larger shield was used for one-on-one conflict and battles. And this typical Roman shield was about the size and shape of a small dwarf, approximately 2.5 feet by 4 feet, and it was made of wood, and it covered with leather, a linen, and was soaked with a pitcher of extinguished flaming arrows. A group soldier could form and penetrate walls by standing shoulder to shoulder with their shields side by side. And that was very interesting. Roman soldiers practiced together and could even move in this formation. So they were in unity. This provided protection for the entire group in situations where one or two alone would have been nearly defenseless.
Mm-hmm.
The Roman shield is a good illustration of living the Christian life. Our faith is the pitch that quenches the flaming dart of Satan. Together as a group, our faith is very effective.
Mm-hmm.
Our faith in God protects us because we know that God will keep his promise. And then I spoke,
you know, I was thinking as you were talking about the shield of faith, how in unity, how we need to be unified in the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how the soldiers you mentioned, they fight shoulder to shoulder. And that reminds me, as, you know, as prayer warriors, as intercessors, how we build a wall, you know, and so if we're all standing shoulder to shoulder, you know, back to back, then the enemy should not be able to penetrate through.
Right.
Because we've got each other's back,
right.
You know, and then we're standing shoulder to shoulder. So we're building a wall, we're building a hedge,
yeah.
You know. And so I know this may be getting off the topic, but I know back in Job where Satan had to ask permission to attack Job. And, you know, God said, well, have you considered Job? And Satan was like, well, don't you have a hedge of protection around him? You know, and that's what that hedge of protection is all of us, you know, linking arms, you know, shoulder to shoulder, back to back, so that the enemy cannot get to us. Because God told Satan, you know, well, I'll remove the hedge so that you can attack him, but don't take his life.
Right.
You know, so Satan had to get permission to attack Job, and he has to have permission to attack us. You know, so everything that we go through is not by accident, because Satan has to have permission to do anything that he does, that God allows him to do, but he has limits. Just like he told Satan, you can't take his life. Satan has limits to what he can do for do to us.
Right.
You know, because God is always our rear guard. I believe Isaiah said he is our rear guard. So we know that God has our back, but we have the body of Christ. We have one another to stand shoulder to shoulder and lift us up, undergird us in prayer as we're going through.
Right.
You know.
You're right. And that's so true. And the second part of that was that the front of the battle shield is the constant thrust through the body of the enemy. Eventually, it would disorientate the enemy.
Okay.
It would, by the thrust, it would get them off balance. So the large shield side by side showed the forming a protective wall in battle. Just as a soldier joined together in battle, believers must not fight alone, but join face to face to release and bring victory.
Okay.
And it also talks about we are protected behind a wall of shield as undergirded by the face of God's army, being united as one body in Christ. And Paul used the word one when speaking of Christ the church. And the Bible says there's one Lord,
one
faith, and
one
baptism.
Yes.
And that's in Ephesians 4 and 5. And so
yes.
We should link our shield to have a greater impact in the community. God wants us to be interdependent, meaning we need one another standing shoulder to shoulder to engage the adversary. Also, as linking our shield, we have strong and great faith and strong and great shield. But where two or three are gathered together in His name,
yes.
He's in the midst of them. That's Matthew 18:20.
Yes.
So we would anoint our shield with oil. And the oil represented the Holy Spirit
yes.
to effectively quench or put out the fiery arrows of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And each Christian must keep his or her shield anointed. And
yes.
Jude verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourself up. We must build ourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Always keeping prayer, praying, because you never know what God will do. So when the shield became dry, the oil of the Spirit is necessary to inspire faith. And a strong shield of faith requires a prayer covering, learning to dress for the battle. So the shield of faith is used to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. It is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And is confident in Christ that strengthens our shield, preventing the sun of fire from moving out of our thought into action.
Mm-hmm.
And it stated all forms of temptation must be resisted when you cast images down and out. And then you have successfully defeated a dart with your shield of faith.
Amen.
So that's what we did in the previous, the first chapter. There's the cracking arm.
Wonderful. Thank
mm-hmm.
you. Thank you for those remarks. Does anyone have anything else they want to add about that chapter? The phone lines are open. So if anyone else wants to comment, you know, please feel free. But that was chapter 1, a revelation of God geared. Again, we just broke down Ephesians 6, verses 11 through 18, and, you know, and thank Minister Wright for giving us that in-depth breakdown on the shield of faith, you know, and the fiery darts, and understanding that unless we have on all these pieces of armor, we're not fully dressed. You know, it's just like, you know, the breastplate of righteousness, for example. I could kind of use an analogy of being the bulletproof vest on a police officer. If the police officer is out in the street by his vest, he's not fully dressed. You know, and so you're vulnerable unless, you know, you have on every piece of the armor. Because every piece of the armor is vital, it's important, you know, including prayer. You know, sometimes we want to go out and we, you know, I got my helmet on, I got my shield, you know, I got my sword, I got my, I'm ready to go. But have you prayed? You know, did you ask God, you know, to order your steps? You know, because it says praying always. That's, you know, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Being watchful to this. And so we have to watch as well as pray. Mm-hmm. And what does it mean to watch? It means to be on guard. Mm-hmm. You know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked his disciples to watch with me while I go and pray. They were asleep.
Right.
He says, you can't even watch for an hour? You don't even have my back for an hour? I'm about to go into a battle here, and I ask you to keep your eyes open. And I'm paraphrasing. So we have to always be watchful. We have to, you know, always be aware of what's going on in the spirit realm. And as, you know, as watchmen, you know, on the wall, you know, when we see the enemy, we sound the alarm. That's the responsibility of a watchman to guard, you know. And so as we're watching for one another, as we lift up one another in prayer, you know, sometimes, you know, we'll wake us up in the middle of the night with a dream or something, and will lead us to pray for that individual. We may not understand why, but it says pray in the spirit,
right.
You know. And so we can pray in the spirit and ward off, you know, any attacks the enemy may be trying to inflict upon that individual. One of the things that we're doing here at Labor Through Christ each month is we're talking about the different prayer watches. And so this week we're going into the month of April, which is the fourth prayer watch, which is 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. You know, and that watch is very important for commanding your morning. It's also, the watch is very important where we can get, if I could say, a leg up on the enemy,
mm-hmm.
You know, where we're able to set into motion, you know, that which is going to happen that day before the enemy has a chance to come in and try to counterattack. You know, we have the authority to kind of set into motion, put into motion what should take place. And that's that fourth prayer watch, you know, because we know right now this is March, we're in the third prayer watch, midnight to 3 a.m. You know, and that's a time where there's a lot of spiritual wickedness is going on. A lot of spiritual demonic forces at work between midnight and 3 a.m., you know, and so at 3 a.m. when, you know, that fourth watch comes in, you know, what's happening is that the witches, they're trying to get back, you know, to where, you know, to their wherever they came from, their coven or whatever, you know, and so therefore, you know, we got, you know, at 3 o'clock we can get on the wall, I say 2:30, so we can get the best of both worlds. You know, get on the wall and get on our post, you know, and just begin to just, you know, speak forth and declare, you know, the word of God. You know, that's what commanding your morning is all about. The next chapter we talked about was inheriting your ancestors' demons. That was chapter 2. And just kind of understanding that God thinks in terms of generations, you know, keeping his promises for 1,000 generations. Psalms 105:8 says that he remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations. So, you know, we're not going to go into depth with every chapter because we're not going to be here too long. But, you know, just kind of recap briefly, you know, the chapters in that was inheriting your ancestors. In chapter 3 was winning in public and losing in private. And I think that as leaders, all of us, you know, we have a tendency to put on our public face. You know, we have on this smile, everything looks good. But what about the battles that we're fighting in private that no one seems to know about? You know, I was reading an article the other day about a very popular, very well-known gospel singer, you know, has been, you know, in the gospel industry for years, you know, since he was a child. And I'm not going to mention his name, but, I mean, you know, everyone knows him, loves his worship, awesome worship music. You know, we sing his worship songs all the time because his music can take us in. And come to find out, he battles with depression. but you wouldn't know it. He keeps it private because one thing in the African-American community, we don't want to talk about it. And we especially don't want to talk about it in the church. And so he is an example of someone who's in the limelight, and we wouldn't even know it, that he battles with depression in his private life, you know. And his music sounds like healing and healing for the soul. And if you know the song, you know the artist. Look at I just told you. you know, and total praise and, you know, those types of songs. But yet, privately, he has his own war that he's battling. You know, and that's why, you know, it's so important that we lift up one another, keep one another, you know, girded, you know, in prayer. Anyone else want to comment? The next chapter was on breaking the spirits of cutting and suicide. I remember our apostle taught that chapter. And it talks a lot about self-mutilation. You know, cutting is a form of self-mutilation. And the author, he talks about in Mark chapter 5, where the guy, I believe, is gathered, he lived in the tombs, which is an example of a person who lives in the past, just stuck with thoughts of death and suicide. And so this individual, he had, you know, was stuck in the past. He's stuck in dead places. You know, the scripture says to forget about the past. You know, both say when we live in the past, we're living in a dead place. You know, we want to rehearse what happened yesterday, you know. And all that does is just giving the enemy permission to torment us. We keep living in the past. You know, and that's why the scripture says to look forward, look ahead, look towards the mark. You know, we can't move forward. We're sitting looking backwards. You know, you're never going to go anywhere. And so sometimes it seems like we're taking one step forward, two steps backwards, because we keep looking about what happened yesterday, the shoulda, coulda, woulda. You know, forget about what happened in the past and keep, you know, moving forward.
It was interesting when she mentioned that even by was a sign of self-mutilation.
Yes.
And at that time, I would have never put those two together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, often, I was, you know, like Janelle,
right.
You know, that was a very...
Because sometimes we think that it's just a nervous condition, you know.
Right.
But it's a form of self-mutilation, you know. And, you know, me being a social worker, you know, I had a client one time that engaged in cutting herself. You know, what it is, oftentimes people engage in cutting and things like that. It's a cry for help, you know. And so, again, we as leaders of the body of Christ, we have responsibility to pray for these individuals, not talk about them,
right.
Not condemn them. Why are you doing that? You need to stop doing that. They're crying out for help oftentimes, you know. And sometimes if we keep beating them up about it, we're not helping them, but we're making them do it even more. I think we talked about that in one of our recent healing clinics with imprinting.
Right.
And I believe one of the individuals talked about how in the past they used to engage in cutting themselves and hurting themselves, you know, because of things that were going on in their life. You know, they felt they had no way out except to just, you know, hit themselves with a lock or cut you know, their arms or whatever. And then I think someone discovered that they were cutting themselves on their arms and their pants threatened to whip them. So what did they do? They kept cutting, but just did it in a different place. You know.
Right.
To hide. You know, they were crying out for help. And as a parent saying, I'm going to whip you. That wasn't helping. And I think it reminds them sometimes that you know, even though, you know, they just got a pinch themselves or whatever, because it's like, okay, I'm still here. You know, they need to feel something. you know, because sometimes they become numb to everything else. It just, I got to feel, I need to have a feeling here, you know. I believe that also that chapter also we talk about people that have tattoos. We stated that, you know, tattoos has roots in demonic activity oftentimes. And people that have the various piercings, you know, the eyebrows and the lips and all kinds of strange body piercings.
Right.
You know, that excessive compulsive behavior, you know, abuse, overeating, both hands, overeating, you know. I think she gave the example of excessive spanking. You know, sometimes parents, that they're cure-alls to give a weapon. You know, I mean, I'm not. Right, it can turn into abuse. You know, I mean, I'm not against physical reminders, but I mean, it can become excessive, yeah. You know. So that was a very interesting chapter. And then Apostle also talked about human cracks and vessels of honor, and how our character should be lining up with the Word of God. And, you know, we have to go through a breaking process before, being made. And so just as Jesus had his 12 disciples, they had to go through their process, you know. And so just like we have to go through our process as well, you know, to form our character. Sometimes our character may not line up with the anointing upon our life. You know, the fruit and gifts should go together. People, you know, please feel free to chime in at any time.
Before you go on, can you speak about the
The next chapter was on when believers begin fainting. That was chapter 6. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing." And I think, you know, we've all been there as leaders, you know, when the sheep become restless and agitated, our energy begins to wane with the demands of ministry. You know, we want to just give up sometimes. And then we add to that the pressures of life that tend to weigh us down. You know, but, you know, you can't give up, you know. Galatians, don't give up. Don't grow weary in well-doing, you know.
It's a book by Millicent Thompson that says
Don't Die in a Winter. Yes,
and yes. That speaks to
us. Yes. I haven't read that book, and I have it in my library. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, right, like, I have a headboard on my bed, and it's like right here by my head. All I got to do is just grab it, and I haven't done it yet, but, you know, I know I need to read that book because it's, you know, right there where I can put my hands on it. And I think, you know, the seasons of life is very important that we understand the different seasons that we go through, what the winter season looks like and what the fall season looks like, the spring,
right?
You know, the summer. You know, we go through different different things in life which kind of parallel with the different seasons in the natural realm. You know, and so with the spring season, things are new, they're growing, they're fresh. And sometimes we feel that energy like, yeah, you know, I'm moving. And then sometimes we feel like we're stuck in a dry place when you're not winter season sometimes, you know. And so just, you know, understanding, you know, the different seasons in our life and what the fall season looks like, the planting,
yes.
You know, the harvesting, you know, that's what I encourage people to read that book. And then there's another book on understanding our spiritual seasons. I can't remember who the author is, but there's a few books out there on understanding our spiritual seasons. And I think, you know, as reading that book, that would help us, especially as leaders, you know, to just be able to keep our eyes focused on the assignments that God has us to do and not, you know, give up sometimes. We had Pastor Jeff. He came in and he talked about what to do with your battered armor. You know, can believers recover from a fatal fall? What do we do when it seems like, you know, we're rubbing shoulders with wolves? The sheep are rubbing shoulders with wolves. You know, what do we do? So that was chapter 7. What to do with your battered armor. We talked about Minister Pittman. She did chapter 8 on discovering and wearing your shield of favor and how our faith activates the favor of God. And that was a really powerful chapter. You know, how our faith, you know, lines up, it should line up with the Word of God and the favor on our life that, you know. Pastor Tan did a few chapters. One of the chapters she did was mending cracks in a broken vessel. And I know Jeremiah 18:4 says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, we're broken vessels, you know, and sometimes God has to break us because he sees the flaws. He sees the cracks in us, you know, and so he breaks us,
yes.
and he puts us on that potter's wheel, you know, and he, you know, he keeps us on that wheel until, you know, he's gotten out all the lumps, all the bumps, you know, every flaw. I think one time in, maybe it might have been a CCTI class, we did an analogy with the clay, and we had, I think we put like beans and rice or something in the clay, you know, and so, you know, when you feel the clay, you can feel all the lumps and stuff like that, you know, but see, when God has on that wheel, he gets all that out, you know, and I believe she also talks about in that chapter the very types of vessels. The earthen vessel from Leviticus 6:28, vessels of honor, Romans 9:21, as well as vessels of dishonor, vessels of wrath, Romans 9:22, a chosen vessel from Acts 9:15-16, the broken vessel, Psalms 31:12, and then vessels of mercy, from Romans 9:23. We're going to go over them again for people that are just tuning in. We're just kind of recapping very briefly the book, There's a Crack in the Armor, for those of you that are just tuning in. And we're just kind of recapping what each chapter was about. And again, I encourage you to add this book to your library. But we were talking about mending cracks in a broken vessel, which was chapter 9, and the different types of vessels was the earthen vessel, again, was Leviticus 6:28. The vessels of honor and dishonor was Romans 9:21. Vessels of wrath was Romans 9:22. The chosen vessel was Acts 9:15-16. The broken vessel was Psalms 31:12. And then the vessel of mercy was Romans 9:23. And just we talked about also how God seals the cracks in these vessels. I believe it was in the scripture, I believe back in the day they used to use the blood of a tick or whatever, and how that blood is the blood of Christ, how, you know, and Christ's blood is what's used to seal our cracks and bringing wholeness where there has been weaknesses. And we identify with those, with the spiritual characteristics were found in each of those vessels that I just named. So again, that was chapter 9, Mending Cracks in a Broken Vessel. My favorite chapter was Don't Go to Hell Over a Mystery. I enjoyed that chapter, Don't Go to Hell Over a Mystery. That chapter basically talked about how sometimes things happen in life and we don't understand it. And we have a tendency to want to question God, you know, but there are some things that we're not going to understand until we get to heaven, you know. The author talked about his father who had been in ministry for a number of years. People had been healed through his prayers. People had been healed of cancer, you know, but yet his father had an infirmity. He had diabetes, you know. And people were questioning, well, if this man can pray so much, how come he can't pray for himself and be healed of diabetes? You know, but the Bible says that God always heals. You know, we sometimes, most of the time, expect healing to look like, you know, in the natural, the here and now. But sometimes the healing is going to take place in the spirit realm, you know, when we pass away. Because when we pass away, we get a new body. You know, so God does heal. He always heals. And so when this person was on their deathbed, he said, you know, tell people that I still believe in a God who heals.
Yeah.
Even though he wasn't healed in the natural realm of diabetes, his faith said, I still believe that God heals.
Yeah.
You know, and then also in that chapter, there was a young man who he wanted to go into the mission field. But he had a sick child at home, and so the organization he was with did not allow him to go into the missionary field, you know, because he had this sick child and he would probably have to take a lot of time away from the missions. And I think about 9 years old, the child had passed away. The mother just said, you know, we don't want to see our child suffer anymore. And so that child did pass away. And so, you know, the husband and wife were then able to enter into the missionary field like they wanted to. God blessed them with 2 more children while they were in the missionary field. And also, you know, God blessed them to where he founded like, was it something like 13,000 different churches? Not 13, but like 13,000.
Right.
And how he ministered on like off on 6 of the 7 continents. So he had ministered spreading God's word in every continent except for Antarctica, you know. And so all that, he was able to, you know, go into missionary field after all. But, you know, God, it took a tragic situation and it turned into a blessing where he reached thousands of lives. You know, and so, you know, I enjoy that chapter on Don't Go to Hell Over Mystery. I believe Minister Pat may have talked about getting back your mind when you're at your wit's end. That was chapter 11, and, you know, what it feels like to be at rock bottom. And, you know, we come to that place where you've just had all you've taken. You know, what do? You know, where you feel like in a dark, deep pit with no way out. You know, I think most of us have probably been there. Some of us have been there at some point. Some of us might be there right now for people that are online and, you know. But, I mean, you know, we get to those places sometimes. As leaders, we want to say, you know what, I'm done. I'm ready. So walk away from the ministry. I can't do this. You know, I've lost it. You know, there's nothing I can't give anymore. You know, searching for purpose and meaning in our life. You know, we feel like we've done this, we've done that, you know, and it seems like we just keep hitting detours and dead ends. You know, we're just at our wits' end. You know, how do we get our mind back, you know, when we're at our wits' end, you know. Minister Pat, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Everything you said, as well as we look up to him, Jesus
right.
Christ. We walk by faith.
Yeah.
Cry out to him and know that no matter what situation or circumstances might come in our lives, that he's with us. So even in our trials, we know that he will give us the strength to go forth. We have to take it step by step.
Yeah.
One day at a time, knowing that he will, he has brought us through that situation or this situation, and he will continue to bring us through other situations in our lives. So we just have to trust him, no matter what it looks like. And I had a scripture in that, like for that chapter, and that was as I had the armor of.
Okay. But just looking to God and just
right.
never giving
just
up and just
yeah.
taking it one step at a time.
Right.
You know, and just, you know, just don't give in. You know, I know in my own situation, I've been to that point, and I know we talked about it also on our Hava broadcast, you know, where, what was the topic that we named it? Basically, as leaders, how we want to just give up sometimes. You know, and sometimes in ministry, we feel like we want to take a sabbatical. And so we might need to take a sabbatical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, sometimes we need to take a vacation. We just need to have some rest time for it where we can commune with God. You know, I'm not saying I'm leaving the ministry, but I mean, sometimes we just need to get away. You know, and we need to be refreshed.
Right.
You know, as leaders, especially like I know our apostle, she pours into us every week, and she's building up leaders. And so I think sometimes that, you know, when you're that type of leader and you have other leaders that you poured into, sometimes you can sit back, sit down, and let the others pour into you. You've been pouring out so much. And so now it's time that, you know, we get refreshed. Or that you get refreshed when you're, you know, when your pastors, apostles on that front line, pouring out week after week after week. I know of one pastor. He takes like the whole month of August off, you know, and he has his other, you know, ministers and leaders in his congregation. They got that month. He's on vacation that month. So every year for the month of August, he's on vacation. And I think that's important sometimes that we just kind of take that vacation. Sometimes we just need vacation. We need to be alone with God sometimes. Yes. And also, you know, I know that we have people that's on the line and we were only going to be here for a few minutes this evening. So, you want me to be cut off in a few minutes, but for those of you that's on your computers, I don't know if you'll still be able to hear us or not, because we're still going to continue discussing this topic, even though we're probably going to run out of time, because we're having a discussion right now. but, yeah, just basically, you know, that time where we need as leaders, how understanding divine order and how, you know, God is first in our families. And we need to take time with our families, you know, and then the ministry. Understanding what it looks like. And so just, you know, that's getting back your mind when you're at your wit's end.
Yeah.
next chapter was when a scandalon cracks your shield. That was Apostles chapter 12. And a scandalon is really, it's a trap. It's a snare, a stumbling block. And, you know, the devil, he sets snares and traps all the time. I think it's in Matthew. I think it's Matthew, I don't want to lie, where, you know, God had told Peter, you know, Satan has laid a trap for you, but I prayed for you. You know, what is that scripture? Is that this, where he says Satan desires to shift you as sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. You know, and so basically, you know, God had saw, Lord had saw that Satan had a trap set for Peter. You know, but he had prayed for him. That he wouldn't, Luke, okay, thank you, Luke. And I have a note here that, you know, sometimes love is the best safeguard when others are stumbling. You know, sometimes love is the best thing we can do is love them. You know, love covers. Yes, yes. You know, and you know, we're going to go through different tests and trials, you know, as believers, you know, and I think that sometimes God allows us to go through these tests so that he can build up our strength, build up our character, to find out what's really in our hearts. You know, because Jeremiah's is the heart is desperately wicked. You know, and so sometimes we have to go through things just trying to get some stuff out of us. You know, sometimes we think that we're all that in a bag of chips. And he's like, let me remind you that you ain't got it all together yet. You know, and so, you know, we go through things and you know, so the Holy Spirit can just show us different areas in our life that we still need our character built. So finding out what's really in our heart. So we can finally see him, you know, and to cause us to cry out like Bartimaeus did, cry out, you know, son of David, have mercy on me. You know, I'm a wretch undone, I think is another scripture. You know, I think you shall pull up the scriptures, a beast before the Lord, you know, a wretch undone, I'm nothing without him, you know. Chapter 13 was using the wrong sword for the wrong battle. That was Pastor Tan as well. Understand that the word of God is our sword. And we have to know, you know, which scripture to use for which situation to be ready in season and out of season. You know, learning to use the word properly. I love our apostle because she's one that really knows how to touch you quick and deep. And you're like, whoa, where did that sword come from? You know, sometimes when she's preaching, I mean, she just cuts, you know. Those swords are just coming left and right. You're like, where are they coming from? Because she knows how to wield that sword, you know. You know, she knows the word, and that's how we, you know, we need to know how to use the word for the right, you know, for use the right word for the right situation, you know, because that, you know the word, be ready in season, out of season. Pastor Tan also talked about reviving ancient battle strategy. Was that you? No, that was Pastor Tan, I think. We talk about reviving ancient battle strategies for modern spiritual war. And then Pastor Connie talked about spiritual strategies from a world famous general. That was chapter 15, Pastor Connie. Anything you want to add about that chapter? We're off the air. only got a couple more chapters.
Keep
your
arm in.
Oh, yes, yeah, I didn't log off. Can people on the computer still hear us? Okay, we're still having a session for those that are still on the computer. So, spiritual strategy world. I believe that chapter talked about when we're engaging in battle, there are natural strategies that mirror spiritual that have spiritual parallel. And when we study the strategies of different generals, we can then in the natural realm, we can then discern the cracks in our own armor. One of the things that I believe that chapter talked about was failure. There's no such thing as failure. It's rather a first attempt in learning. And so that was Pastor Connie's chapter. And what general did they use? Was it General Alexander? I thought it was General Alexander that Yes. And he, General Alexander had some very unique strategies, for his soldiers as they're preparing for battle. One that, we probably wouldn't think about, but yet he was very successful, with the strategies that he used. And we look at him as an example, and we kind of, can kind of see a spiritual parallel. Like, you can't go into battle taking a whole lot of luggage, lighten up the load. Give it to Jesus. Yes. 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 That's something that one thing that we see Jehovah Witnesses doing when they're out, witnessing. They're always in twos.
Mm-hmm.
They're always in twos, and they do what we should be doing, just trying to win souls, But we too scared, stuck behind the four walls or in a house or whatever. They knock on our doors, and we don't want to answer the door. We don't want to talk to them or whatever. But we should be the ones that's out there, spreading the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Going out in twos while one's talking and one's praying.
Right.
And you're not out there alone because you got somebody who's linked up with you. And I think we talked about that in one of the earlier chapters that Minister Pat talked about, how we just link arms with one another and uphold one another, undergird one another in prayer. Yes. Yes. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He's always ready, and we're too busy sleeping. Yes. Yes, he's already won it for us. Sometimes we just need to show up. We just need to show up, have our armor on, and let him, I believe it's Second Chronicles, where, God told Jehoshaphat, you don't have to fight this battle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not yours, it's mine. You don't have to fight, but just show up, and go on with praise. Praise is a weapon. Yes. Yes. Shout. I think they had to go with like seven times. Mm-hmm. And just shout. Mm-hmm. I mean, your voice, the word of God, that's a weapon. Your praise is a weapon. I mean, there are so many spiritual weapons that we don't even realize, that we don't recognize. And we don't use them.
We need to allow God to lead out who wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
When we would get out to fight,
3,000? Yes. Mm-hmm. And then that's also, you know, Apostle told me one time that, you know, as we're going through, as God is continuing to elevate us, we can't take anybody with us. You know, some people, they can't go with you where God is trying to take you. You know, we love them, but if we try to keep, sometimes we keep dragging people with us, they're going to hold us back.
Right.
And we have to always, you know, be focused on the assignments that God has given us and just be faithful, you know, to what he's told us to do and be who he's taught us to be. Stop taking extra luggage. You know, you can't have everybody in your inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus had Peter, John, and James. Yeah. Peter, James, and John. You know, he had three, and he had a lot of disciples. You know, he had 12 famous ones, but only three in his inner court. You know, and just as leaders, you know, we can't be buddy-buddy with everybody, but, you know, having an accountability partner. Who holds us accountable? You know. Chapter 16 was Pastor Jeff, it's not the devil, it's you. Sometimes we are our own enemy. The inner me is the enemy sometimes. Because sometimes it's just our own flesh, you know, and sometimes we're just going to have to be like Jacob, just wrestle until Israel prevails, you know. And then the last chapter was Minister Chat's chapter, the season of your ultimate test. And the scripture in 1 Peter 1:7 says that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so basically, as believers, we are promised a victory when we experience a trial of our faith and pass the test. You know, Satan enjoys challenging us with what God says. It reminds me of when Jesus was in the wilderness. You know, Satan was trying to tempt him, and he combated him every time with the word of God, every single time, you know. And, you know, that's what Satan's doing. He's just trying to challenge us, but know the word of God, you know. And if we fail the test, there's a restoration process. Failure is never final. And so I have here that, you know, we just need to have a paradigm shift in our thinking and learn to look at trials and tribulations. Stop looking at them as defeat, because our ability to overcome always brings a reward. Was one of the notes that I had here for that chapter, the season of your ultimate test. Anything anybody else want to add? That was basically a recap of the book. Apostle was not able to make it this evening. She called me, and she was not ready to come. So we're still praying for her as she continues to. And so she asked me to step in and just kind of briefly recap, you know, the book. And so for those that are on the line or that tuned in, we went through just a brief summary of the 17 chapters. And again, I stated if you don't have the book, you want to get it. You know, have it in your library. It's a good resource tool to have. So with that, we are going to adjourn. It is 8:00. So we are pretty much on time. Anybody have anything they want to add? I thought he was online, but never hung up. So we're going to